again. And as David kind of touched on, for part of last year, we were out in, I often explain it as an island 60 miles off the west coast of Africa. It's the island of Fuerteventura in the Canary Islands, but it seems a bit more exotic when you say 60 miles off of Africa. And I can assure you the weather was a lot better than it is here today. The pangs of the warm weather often come back to us. But we had a good time and led a church out there for just over 2 months, English-speaking church, because I don't speak Spanish. But it was part of a larger church on the island, which we used to go to on the Sunday evenings. And the congregation in that church was, most Sunday evenings, 1,200, 1,500 people. I have to say I was gobsmacked. I didn't think there was that many Christians on the island, let alone in one church. But they're doing a fantastic work there. They have food banks, they have a homeless shelter, they have a drug and rehabilitation centre. They have a bus that travels around the islands that's set up with showers, and they put in clothes, and they have doctors and pedicure. And they travel around the island to meet the needs of the homeless and the people that are disenfranchised from normal society. Doing an absolutely tremendous work. And every Sunday night, bar one, and I don't know why, but every Sunday night, at least a dozen people responded to the gospel. Now, I don't say they got saved, but they responded to the gospel. Sometimes a lot more than that. So God is doing a tremendous work there, and we enjoyed our time, and it was hard work at times, but I think God hopefully blessed them through us, and we were certainly blessed. But we're back to cold, damp, gloomy, dank, murky England. But God is still good, and God is still working, and we're here. So let's pray that God will bless us here today as we open up his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your desire is to teach us, illuminate us, to energize us as we look into your word. And I pray this morning, Lord, that whatever I've prepared and whatever is down on this paper here, Lord, that you will just take it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. Before I start, I'd just like to say a couple of things, if that's okay. The young lady there who was sitting there and just passed an exam, is it accountancy? Yeah. We'll pray for you. I'd just like to say to you, as you're kind of embarking on a career, that when Joy and I first got married, when we were a young Christian, and we're embarking on a career, I was looking for a job and what have you. God just spoke to me one evening, just reinforced a verse to me. And it's a verse from Matthew, and it's from the Sermon on the Mount, and it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things of life will be added to you." And I can honestly say, as the years go on, probably at least 40, 50 years of married life and work life, God has been true to his word. And I just want to pray that over you this morning, that you will in your life, you will seek first the kingdom of God. And God, I believe, will provide all that you need. All the other things of life,
amen,
God will provide for you.
Amen.
Whatever that may be. And you know, at that time, I'd just become a Christian, and we weren't married at the time, and we were thinking about getting married, and I may have said it to you before. And we were looking, I was applying for jobs all over the country because I was living in London and couldn't afford to rent a garage in London, let alone a house. And we were getting married, and God spoke to me, and I prayed that prayer. And since that day, although I've had probably half a dozen or more jobs, I have never applied for a job. God has always provided. People have approached me, and God has always provided. So I know that verse is true, and I just want to pray it over you. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. And the little child here that we prayed for this morning that has speaking difficulties, I just felt the touch of God as we were praying. I just felt the touch of God on that little girl. I really did. I encourage you as a church to continue to pray. I just felt the touch of God on her. Just felt the Holy Spirit just quicken me, and I just tried to impart it to her. And that first psalm that we read, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. My prayer is she'll be able to do that. God encourages us to do it. And my prayer is that the day will come when she will be able to do that. Amen? Amen? Keep praying. We will keep praying. What is her name?
Gabriella.
Right. We'll continue to pray for her. Amen. Okay, let's turn to the word. That bit was for free. Now, can you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3?
I've taken up time already, David.
I think I'm booked in to come another two or three times so far. So what I want to start with you this morning, I probably won't finish it this morning, but if I can, when I come back and what have you, we can just carry on with this teaching and understanding, expounding of the word. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. I'm reading from the NIV version. And verse 17. It says, therefore, dear friends. And when you get a therefore, you have to ask, what's it there for? And you have to look back into the chapter or the book, the second book of Peter, second letter of Peter. And Peter is saying there, he's warning people. He's talking about there will be scoffers. He's talking about God returning, the return of Jesus. And he encourages the people to live good lives. He says in verse 11, you ought to live holy and godly lives. And in verse 14, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. So because of that, he's saying these words. He says, therefore, since you have been forewarned, and that's a forewarning, he says, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of lawlessness and fall away from your secure position. Then he says these words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's Peter's encouragement to us. He urges us to grow. To grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a pastor of a church, kind of now officially retired, but having pastored the church for 25 years, my desire and one of my, if I can call it, jobs was to see the congregation that I was given and pastored to grow. Wherever you are in your life, you can still grow. Beginning of this week, we were away for a few days at my daughter's, who lives in Norwich, and just seeing our latest grandson. We now have 10. It's good fun most of the time, because with grandchildren, you know, you can feed them with chocolate and Coca-Cola and wind them up and then hand them back. But it's good fun, and if I knew how good they were, I probably would have had them first. But 9 of them live locally to us, literally within a few miles, and this is the first one that lives away, and we probably won't see him as much as we see the others. And so we will probably notice the change more than the others, because we see the others most weeks as they grow up. Obviously they're changing, but you don't notice it. But we'll probably notice the change in this grandson. And with our children, you do notice change. They grow. Have you noticed that? Children grow. They grow, don't they? Grow bigger. Sometimes grow more annoying. But they grow. And it really came home to me recently. It was last year where I was preaching at one of our AOG churches in Larkfield, and I hadn't been there for a number of years. And the pastor there said, "Oh, we're going to be praying for one of our people going off to university." I said, "That's fine, yeah, great, I'll join in with the prayers." And they announced it. And the last time I saw this lad, I mean, he must have been that high. And they said, "Oh, Phil, will you come forward? We want to pray for you." And he kind of stood up, and he was nearly as tall as me, you know, almost twice as wide. And people grow, and we don't realise it. But that's kind of natural growth, and I'm sure all of you have grown naturally. Perhaps sometimes the waistline has grown, or you've got more wrinkles or whatever, I don't know. But we grow. But what about our spiritual life? If I could look at your spiritual life from the last time I came down here, would I see a spiritual growth? Would we have grown as Christians? And you could say the same to me since the last time I came. Have I grown spiritually? I hope I have. But I believe God's heart is for us all to grow as Christians, to grow and change. As we read there in 2 Peter, but rather grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. God wants us all to grow. And if we look at that, my kind of question is, how do we do it? And this isn't going to be rocket science this morning, but just an encouragement to us all to grow. How do we do it? Is it God that does it? Or is it me? Or is it something else that enables us to grow as Christians? If that's the heart of the Christian life. You know, the great commission we have is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and then make disciples. And when you make disciples, as Jesus did with the 12 that followed him, he saw them grow. One would argue they didn't grow that much, but they did grow. We can't save people, but we can help them to grow. And I hope that being here this morning, over the next few weeks, when I come down, I will help you, and perhaps help myself, to grow as a Christian. The old hymn, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." And there's one line that says these words, "Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place." That's the heart of what God wants for us, changing, growing as Christians. You know, I guess that's the reason that we have sermons. That's the reason we have the word expounded to us, so that we can grow, so that our lives can change. And I'm probably getting a bit ahead of myself now, but this is one of the reasons we also have prayer, where people will pray for people to grow. We prayed here this morning for the healing and blessing, but one of the prayers we should always have is for people to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we don't pray enough. I don't know. You know, when I first became a Christian, every week during our service we would have a time of prayer. People would come forward, and every week we would have a time of prayer. We don't perhaps have that so much now. People would come forward and pray, stand there and be prayed for, as we did this morning. And I think as church leaders, we should always be willing to pray and help people pray more, because prayer changes things. The Bible says, Scripture says in Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And sometimes we need the power of God to help us to grow, help us to change. And we pray, when we pray those kind of prayers, we pray that God will do something sovereignly. And praise God, he does. And I was going to say out of the blue, but it's out of heaven, really, that God will move in our lives. And where we've struggled to change, where we've struggled to grow, God can come in and touch our lives by the power of his Spirit and move us on in Him. But I say, is it God or is it us? Because in Luke 10, we've got the parable of the talents. And the master says, you put to work your talent or gift. You do it. You change. You put things to work. You do something in your own life. And the ones that do that, they're commended. They say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we do our bit. And sometimes we have to do something. It's not just God. We have to do something. Ephesians 4, you must put off your old self and put on the new. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armour of God. We have to do those things that will cause us to grow and to change. So I ask the question, is it God or is it us? Because I'm sure all of us who follow the Lord want to grow, whatever age we may be. I think we have a scripture that helps us here. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Says these words. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See? It's telling us, you continue to work it out. You continue to do something. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It is God who works in us. So here we have it. We have us. He said, you work it out. But we have here God working in us. Before I became a Christian, I used to hear people say, Jesus changed my life. I can remember, probably some 50 years ago now, there was a Billy Graham crusade in this country, and this last Friday we heard a bit about it, because I went to a funeral of somebody, some of you may know, a man called Dennis Robson, who was I don't know what age he was, probably in his 70s, 80s, but served God as an evangelist. It was a testimony to the goodness of God and what God had done through his life. And he was involved in that Billy Graham crusade. He had the job of driving Billy Graham around to the different venues where he had to go, from his hotel to where it was else called, or wherever he was preaching. And there was pictures on the order of service of him sitting with Billy Graham in the car. But I used to, even on television at that time, I can remember it, people saying, Jesus changed my life. And I just wonder, how did that happen? How did that happen? I wasn't a Christian then. You know, was people brainwashed? What happened? Was it something like kind of from Star Trek, you know, Scotty beamed me up and changed like that? I didn't know. But even as born-again Christians, we want Jesus to change our lives. I'm sure of that. We want to grow to be more like him. We don't want to become stagnant. And even as Christian leaders, we need to change. Culture changes, and we need to adapt to it. We don't change fundamentals, but sometimes we need to change. During that funeral service last Friday, you know, there were a lot of testimonies there. Somebody from Bruce Miller was there giving a testimony. I understand he was at Cheriton many, many years ago. And he was telling about some of the stories him and Dennis Robson used to get up to. And some of the things they did wouldn't work today. They worked then, and they worked in the culture of the time. But they wouldn't work today, I'm sure, because we live in a different culture. And so we all need to change. I need to change. The world around us is changing. And we need to adapt it. We need to change as well. I'm not really IT savvy. I try. But my grandchildren, you know, they often say, if you want to know how to work your computer, ask your grandchildren. And that's what I do. You know, sometimes my granddaughter comes along and says, Now, how do you do this, Emma? As you're like, and it all happens. I said, how do you do that? She said, it's easy. You just, you know, and she's, what is it, 11, 12 now, and amazes me. But I want to look at something more important this morning. How do we grow in our spiritual life? Because if we don't grow, there's something not quite right. Just the last couple of weeks, one of our grandchildren wasn't growing, had lost some weight, and the doctors were concerned. So it's not nice when things don't grow. And it's the same for us as Christians. How do we do it? Some people say, well, the Lord will do it. That's a passive approach, so we just park up waiting for writing in the sky. Other people will say, well, it's up to me. I've got to do it. And very often they rush on ahead and perhaps do some things in their own strength. But back to that verse in Philippians, therefore, my dear friends, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Two phrases there. Work out your salvation, for it is God who works into you. Work out is our part. Working in is God's part. We are to work out what God is working in. And God will work in us if we allow him to. He will work in us. He will work with what he's got. You know, God, I don't think God is going to come in and whilst he gives us a new heart and changes our lives at the day of our salvation, we are still us. With all our quirks, with all our idiosyncrasies, we are us. And let me say this morning, God will work with what you've got. He wired us all differently. He made us all differently. And he will work with what you've got. Don't put yourself down. I'm this, I'm that, I'm something else. I've got this, I've got that. I'm this kind of person, I'm that kind of person. You may be. But I want to tell you that God will work with you. And God will work in you, whoever you are. And he will, if you allow him to, he will cause you to grow. Don't step out of what I'm saying this morning. God knows you better than you know yourself. And God will work with you. You know, when we join up to perhaps a gym or something like that, and we want the trainer to make our bodies a different shape or whatever, put muscles where we haven't got the muscles at the moment. He will work with what you've got. You don't walk into the gym and the trainer says, well, okay, here's your new body. Let's work with that. And God is the same. Don't, wherever you've done and wherever you've been and whatever you think, God, I believe, will work with you and work in you, whoever you are, and cause you to grow from where you are to where he wants you to be, if you allow him to do that. He doesn't just, he gives us a new heart and a new mind and a new soul. He changes us when we're saved, but we're still us. He will work with you. Now, if we go to a slimming club, the person teaching there, and my wife knows about this, I shouldn't say that. When we go to a swimming club, the person there doesn't say, okay, on the first week, okay, here's your new body. They work, is what you want. And God does the same. In many areas of life, God is like that. The spiritual life is like that. And we have to work it out, the implications. He wants to grow you. So often we want to perhaps work out somebody else's life, gifting or ability, but God works with what he's got. And you know, I also say this morning, before we get on to say my first point, there's nothing more important in life than your spiritual growth. When Jesus said, I've come, he told us to preach the gospel and make disciples. We can't save people, but we can help people to grow. And there's nothing more important than your own spiritual growth. I encourage you this morning to take it seriously. Because if we don't grow, if you don't grow, this church misses out. If you don't grow into the person that God wants you to be, this church will miss out. Your family will miss out. Your neighbourhood will miss out. And eventually eternity misses out. God wants to work in you. He wants to energise you. So, how do we grow? Well, I want to start off, we'll probably get through the first point this morning, and then perhaps next time I come, we'll carry on. How does God change me? Because I believe we can't work out things unless God works in. And that scripture talks about, you know, working out our salvation for it is, or because God is working in us. So although it's not turning on its head, it's important we understand we can't work out what God hasn't put in. So how does he work within us? Two visitors. And this isn't rocket science, but I just want to encourage you this morning. It's a very basic stuff. How does God change us? How does he work within us? The first one, and it's quite obvious, he uses his word. He uses the Bible, he uses preaching, teaching, he uses prophecy, whatever it may be, but he uses his word. But primarily, it comes from, even preaching and teaching comes from his word. And prophecy, if it doesn't align with the word of God, don't listen to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says these words. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God, or the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The New Living Testament says it in this way. The whole Bible is given us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. It helps us to do what is right. That's growing, changing. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point. The Bible changes our thoughts and therefore it changes us. And if we, it's so basic, but if we really want to get serious about growing and about changing, we need to get into this book more and more. Read it, study it, memorize it. I'm sure many of you do, but I just encourage you to carry on doing it. Many of you will know this, but I just want to encourage you and reinforce it. As the Apostle Paul used to say, I say it again, and I say it again. Get into the book. You know, we have access to the Bible more now than we ever did before. You know, we have on our mobiles, on our tablets, on our computers, paper versions of all kinds. So many more versions than we've ever had before. So many applications on our electronic devices, more than we've ever had before. But I question, are we reading it anymore than we did? And that's not criticism, I just question it. We have it so available now. Feeling better?
Good.
So many variations. I used a program called Bible Gateway when I'm studying and really want to study the Bible. It's so easy to use, and it's just so easy to use and so convenient. But I looked on there the other day, and even on just that program, there are 60 English language versions of the Bible on that program, and many more in Spanish and other languages. But 60 versions of the Bible. Are we reading it? Are we absorbing it? Are we imbibing it? But I want to say, the more we get into the Word of God, the more we're going to be changed, the more we're going to grow. Over my life as a pastor and the leader of a church, I've had numerous conversations with people who say how difficult they find time to set aside to read the Word of God. And I know for perhaps us who have, in a sense, been set apart from God to study and read God's Word and expound God's Word, it may be easier for us to spend that time. But we all need to do it. We need to find the time. I have to say, I was shocked recently. I was talking to somebody I know very well, been a Christian for a number of years. But in all honesty, I have to say, I haven't really seen him grow in God. He still comes to church, and I don't know what's going on inside his life, but from my perspective, and I used to say to you, we can't see him growing in God. And chatting to him, and we were talking about various things, talking about the Bible, and he said quite openly, he said, in all the years I've been a Christian, I've never actually sat down and read the Bible for reading Bible's sake. And that suddenly dawned on me, that's the reason, or one of the reasons, you're not growing. He's never actually sat down and read the Bible. He'd come to church every week, heard sermon after sermon after sermon, encouraged him to read the Bible. And you think, surely you would pick it up from that, that, you know, that is the food, one of our only foods that we have, spiritual foods. But he's never actually read it from years. 5, 6, 7 years being a Christian. Never actually sat down and read it. I was shocked. I have to say, I was shocked. Because I just assumed people did. So I encourage you this morning to get into God's Word. I say, in my past as a leader, people come and said, I'm struggling with my faith. And my response, first response has often been, are you reading the Bible? And they often would say, well, no, not really. I said, well, what do you expect? We need to do it. We need to get into God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training. The good news says it's to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong. Now, that's fairly straightforward. You know, there's so much rubbish thrown at us in the media these days. So much. Probably more now than there's ever been. And that's what we need. To have the balance. We need to have the change. We need to have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds. We need to read it perhaps more than we do. I'm often surprised when I go into homes of Christians and see the, I have to say, sometimes the rubbish publications that you see in the paper racks and things like that, and magazine racks. See, the Word of God helps us. If you want to change, read the Word of God more. And maybe even this morning, you want to say to God, God, I'm going to reorganize my life so I read your word more. Just a practical thing, a simple thing to work it out, really what I'm saying. Yeah, the habit I've got into recently, as I sit down to read the word of God, and I say to God, well, I'm going to read your word this morning, and I'm quite an early riser. I tend to like getting up fairly early in the morning, and that's sometimes the time when I spend reading the word of God, and certainly if you're studying for a message, you're reading the word of God. But even when I'm studying, I often say to God, what do you want me to learn from you today from reading your word? How do you want to use what I'm going to read today to grow me in you? And I think that's the type of prayer that God will answer and God will work with. Hebrews 4, for the word of God is alive and active. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. The word of God, if we get hold of it and read it, it's living and active. It will change us. It will move us on. It will enable us to grow if we're prepared to do it. Have you noticed that sometimes when you're reading the word of God and you read a passage and you may have read it many times before, but this time it just suddenly comes alive. Something in it challenges you. Something illuminates itself to you. That's because it's living and active. It's God breathed. And God wants us to change. God wants us to move on in our Christian life. And one of the most fundamental ways that I know is to get hold of his word, read it, imbibe it, allow it to speak into our lives. As I just said, it's living and active. And it will change our lives. I want to encourage you to do that as individuals. And when we do it as individuals, in the church itself, the company of God's people will grow. Brothers and sisters, in a sense, there is no other fundamental way for us to grow. Time is going, David. 5 minutes? Sure? I don't want people going out. Cool, he went on a long time. No, you all right? Just 5 minutes then. The second way God enables us to grow, and we'll probably finish this next time, God uses the Holy Spirit. And that's not a surprise to a lot of you, I know that. But God uses the Holy Spirit. God puts his Spirit in us to change. Romans 8 says these words, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. Just stop and think about that for a moment. God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. The Spirit that caused that cataclysmic event 2,000 years ago, the same Spirit that caused and enabled Jesus to rise from the dead is living in us. I know you know that, but just stop and think about that just for a moment. Wow. The same Spirit caused Jesus to rise from the dead is living in us. God will allow his Spirit to work within us to change us. You may may be thinking you've got a lot of things to change. He may well have. But it's the same Spirit that caused Jesus to rise from the dead. And we'll just finish here. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, it says, are being transformed, are being changed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which come from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God, by his Spirit, will transform you if you allow it to happen. We, who are being transformed into his likeness, and God's number one purpose on life, in life, in your life, you know, is not to make you happy. He will make you happy. He will make you joyful. But his number one purpose is to make you more like Jesus, to transform you, to change you, to grow you, to be more like Jesus. It says here, we are being transformed into his likeness. And he is here. He is in your life. And he will enable you to grow. Change from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. God wants to continue to grow us, to change us. He uses his word, both in written form, prophecy, preaching and teaching, whatever it may be. He will use all those words. But he will also use his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to change us. I want to encourage you as a church to allow God to change you. I believe that God wants us all to grow. I really believe that. Whatever age you are, some of you here are older than me, some are younger, not much younger. But you know, the desire of my life is for me to continue to grow in God. I don't want to get stagnant. I don't want ever to think I've arrived. Because I know I haven't. I know there are things that God wants me to do, but he needs to perhaps change me in here so that I can be more like Christ, so that I can be more effective in my life. My desire is for God to enable me to grow and grow and grow. I don't want to grow any higher, I'm not taller, but I want to grow spiritually. And I know I can't do it just by myself. I need God's help. Grow me. Families, we will affect our neighbourhood, we will affect those that we work with, we will affect the atmosphere, perhaps even the atmosphere of church now. Well, I do know, I think we will. And so my encouragement to you, really, I guess almost at the beginning of another year, allow God to grow you. To grow you. To grow you. Wouldn't it be great if at the end of this year we can look around at this congregation and we can look at different people and say, wow, hasn't he grown? Not just outwards or higher or more wrinkles, but grown in God. Wouldn't that be great? We've got 47, 48, 49 weeks to do it. Wouldn't it be great? We can see it in children when they grow. Wouldn't it be great for us as adults, and most of you here are adults, I see the children out. Wouldn't it be great if in a month's time, 2 months' time, a year's time, we can look at each other and say, do you know what? I've noticed a change in you. You've really grown in your Christian life. Yeah, I can see you've got more faith now than you used to have. That's what God wants for us, I believe. Whoever we are, my prayer is that we will see see God move. I believe that. Shall we pray? Father, we realise, Lord, that we are your children. And Lord, I pray this, just as we look at our natural children, our natural grandchildren, Lord, our desire is to see them grow. Grow physically, grow mentally, but also grow spiritually. And Lord, we know that's your heart for us, your children. And Lord, when we look at our own children, our own grandchildren, to see perhaps where growth may be stunted, in certain areas not happening, Lord, our hearts get concerned. And Lord, we know your heart must be concerned for us, Lord, we don't grow in you. So I pray this morning, Lord, that for everybody here this morning, I mean everybody in this, my prayer is that they will allow you to grow. So allow you to grow them, allow you to grow them in you. Lord, as they read your word, speak to them. Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes upon them, Lord, I pray you will energize them, so that they can move on with you. Lord, we know there are various other ways that you can help us to grow. But Lord, just on, as we looked at those two elements this morning, I pray that this conversation, as individuals and as a church, Lord, will grow in you, to bless them and help them in their walk. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.